We're talking about discipleship. Have you ever really considered yourself as a disciple? Saw, identified yourself, I am a disciple of the Lord. I think we talk about it, but I wonder how much we've personalized it. That I am a disciple. So that's what the Lord speaks to each one of us. This whole gospel today is about being a disciple of Jesus, being worthy of him, being a follower of his. So think about that. Do I consider myself a disciple? Because when it comes to judgment day, that's how we will be assessed, whether we are a disciple of the Lord or not. And so the reason that we live, the reason that we exist, is to be a disciple of Jesus. All right? So let's first kind of set it up that way, in very reflective of how do I see myself? Am I just living my life? I'm in existence. I'm trying to enjoy life. How do I see myself? Do I see myself and identify myself as a disciple? All right, so what does it mean to be a disciple? There's really two elements in regards to being a disciple: the cross and love. So on Friday, I was reading in the Wichita Eagle in the sports section, featuring a young man who's going to be a junior in high school. He's a linebacker with great prospects, goes to Northwest. He is 6'5", 235, kind of like me. Well, the 235 part. So, and he's full of talent, and he's already got all kinds of offers. I don't think you can make an actual offer when you're that young, but there's maybe oral offers, verbal offers from very big schools. But in the article, he's about this passion that he has for the game, this incredible love that he has for the game. He wishes the season was already here. And then it went into a litany of all of the sacrifices that he makes. He rarely eats junk food. He rarely watches TV. He spends long hours out in the heat working on drills. All kinds of sacrifice. And so it really comes together for him. Embracing the difficulties and the trials and the crosses and the passion and love for the game. If only we could do that in the spiritual life. Those two components, this passionate love for the Lord. Okay, so that's what it means to be a disciple. Completely all in. Unless one loves me more than father or mother, he cannot be my disciple. He's not worthy of me. If you love son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. So it has to be a love that triumphs over everything. So just like his love for the game triumphs probably over almost everything that he does. It takes priority, right? He's completely invested. This is a reflection of the type of love that we're able to have, that God's calling us to. Not static Christianity. We're in the pews and we're checking off the boxes, right? We've done our duties. No, God wants something that's complete and all in. And he started it because he has sent everything and delivered everything to his son. You know what he says right now to us? I have no more to give. I've given you everything in my son. I have no more to give. God is all in completely. So the first movement for a disciple is to encounter the powerful love of God. You cannot conjure up this love. The love does not begin with us. The love begins with the outpouring and the infusion of divine love for each one of us personally. So that powerful encounter. So if football has the power to create this much passion and energy in a person, how much might divine love, eternal love, what can that conjure or bring about within us? That could be something credible, incredible, right? If we could just get a little bit of it, just taste a little bit of it, it'd make all the difference, right? But it's not just about this all-in, incredible love. There's also, we hear, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me. so that there's a cross that's a part of this. So this man who's going to be a junior in high school, he already gets it. There's going to be a lot of sacrifices, a lot of things that he's giving up and denying himself so that he can pour himself completely into the game, right? Well, it's the same thing with the Christian life, that there are crosses and that we embrace all of those, and they really don't mean that much because our love is so great and wonderful for God. That's all incidental. You notice how when a couple that's getting married, they come up to the altar here, to the prayer, and they're exchanging their vows, and they're, I promise to be true to you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. As they're giving themselves to each other, do you think it bothers them that they're going to have to be faithful in bad times, in sickness, that as they come up and give themselves to each other, that they're saying no to every other potential spouse? Do you think that bothers them at all? No, right? Because it's incidental. Those things are incidental compared to this wonderful love that they have for each other. So the same thing with us. The more that we're taken up in the love of God and receiving this outpouring of divine love, the smaller the cross has become, really. Just like for that junior in high school, it's not really that big a deal to give up all these things because there's so much passion for the game. Where's our passion for the living in Christ? Because if the love and the passion is not there, then everything's going to seem like a heavy burden and cross. You know what I'm saying? It's just a life of just drudgery. Trotting through. Now, it has happened in the past where the Christian life, almost the entire focus has been on the duty and the cross. And the problem with that, without the love and the newness of life that the Lord wants to pour into your own mind and heart, the problem with that is that if it's too heavily focused on the crosses without the love, what you have is a stoicism. Have you heard of the Greek Stoics? You know what it's about for them? Is that they strove to live a life that was completely not affected by the emotions and passions, right? And you're familiar with American Gothic, the painting that's in the Philadelphia Museum of Art, of the farmer and his wife. He has the pitchfork. It might be his daughter, I think. But they're stoic. There's no emotion, right? And they're just pushing and working hard through this. They're just driving through. That's what the Christian life will become if we just focus on the cross and the difficulties. And how does that sell it very well for you? If that's how you see people living the Christian life, that's the joyless life. Because people are attracted to discipleship not because they hear a good sermon or they read a good book. We're attracted to the Catholic faith and to be disciples because of the joy that's exuded from those around us. I want some of that, right? Because if they have the joy, I know that there's passion, there's love there. So it can't just be focused completely on the crosses and the struggles. And sometimes our faith life is reduced to that, just grinding it out, right? And on the other side, if it's just passionate love with God, wonderful divine love and no cross, you ever look into a crazy mirror, right? The shapes just keep changing. And so without the cross, there's no identity, there's no stability, there's no security, and because of that, there's no love. There's no true love. It's flaky, you might say. So this is, my friends, you are called, Jesus Christ is calling you to be a disciple. Have you said yes? Have you personally said yes to being a disciple? If you take one thing away from this homily tonight, may it be that question. Have I taken seriously the question to me that the Lord Jesus Christ is personally inviting me to be his disciple. This is the Christian life. My friends, this is what it's all about. And I promise you that the divine life has much more to offer than football, the joys of football, or even the joys of marriage. This is union with love itself.